Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" We're going to talk about the holiness of God. And even in this particular verse, it does not mention the word holiness, but that name of God is his holiness. When you look at holiness as a topic, I personally believe it's fallen on harder times than even sin. I mean, people are intimidated by the word holy, and it's because of the religious way that that word is being used. And really, people are being mistreated by using the word holy. Can we just get blunt about the whole thing? I mean, I'm talking about the way religion uses the word holy. Holy is all about how you look and talk and act, and it has very little to do with the condition of the heart, which is God's primary concern. So he says, "I am has sent you," not "I was," not "I will be," but "I am." It's always present tense, and it's always all of him. That's the revelation of the holiness of God. It's all of him. Go over to James chapter 3. He's called holy more than any other description, the description of God. So it shouldn't be something that we're afraid of. Amen? And then we want to talk about his omnipresence. That's hard for finite individuals to understand. He's infinite and he's omnipresent. We read in Revelation that in heaven, in that holy city, the New Jerusalem, there's no shadow. And that's really hard to imagine, that there's no shadow. Why? Because we're used to a finite source of light. Even in photography, if they have enough lights, they can get it where there's very little shadow, but there's still shadow somewhere. And so that's hard for us to imagine. And so when we talk about God's omnipresence, that's hard to imagine. How can he be everywhere at the same time? And we tend to think of God through our own limitations. In fact, we'll project onto God who we are. He didn't say, "I am who you are." He says, "I am who I am." He doesn't change because of me. I don't change God. That is good news. The worst sinner on the planet meets the same God as the best Christian on the planet. That's good news. He doesn't part himself. He doesn't send out facets of himself in particular instances. And when we think of omnipresence, maybe this room being full of steam, and that's maybe a way that we could relate to him being omnipresent. But that's not accurate, because there's some steam over there. There's some steam over there. There's some steam wherever God is, which is everywhere. All of him is there all the time, present tense. How does that go in here? You just have to, by faith, say, "Okay, are you with me?" Because you're not going to figure that out. It's not necessarily going to make sense, because we know limitations. We're finite, but he is not. And so I personally believe that the holiness of God, instead of being afraid, God is this holy God. He's peeking in the window. "Oh God, oh holy God, look at, I'm so unworthy. Please don't look at me." That's not it at all. It's the fact that he's in totality. He's whole. He's all of who he is all the time. He's always good. He's always love. He's always light. Whatever you come up with about God, God is, he always is, and he's all of it. What if you mess up? Is he the angry, just God? Well, he's just. But he's still love. He's still merciful, right? You can't take that away from him. He would have to meter himself out. He would have to portion that to you. Isn't that good news? This should be a reason that we run to him. This should be one of the most celebrated things about God, is his holiness, because he's whole. James chapter 3, look at verse 17. And it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Now where it says without partiality, this is a very specific word, and it means not to be parted. Not to be parted. We see in Ephesians 6, 9 and Romans chapter 2, verse 11, that in God there's no partiality. And we know that that's saying he doesn't play favorites. He's not going to like my wife more than he likes me. I know that's incredibly hard to believe, but it's true. He loves us all the same as he loves Jesus. Did you hear me? He loves Larry as much as he loves Jesus. He loves Tim as much as he loves Jesus. Not any less. That is such a revelation. So he doesn't have any favorites. But the revelation is that he doesn't dissect himself and hand out bits and pieces of himself. And yet we can have this mindset when we approach God in prayer. Oh, don't bother God with that. Maybe it's a little cut. Nah, it's no big deal. Right? Why? Why would we do that? Why would we say, don't bother God with that? Perhaps it's a headache. Why would we not want to bother him? Because God is this divine internet, and if too many people log in at the same time, we're going to crash his server? Is that going to happen? The fact is, he could deal with every issue you will ever have at the same time as he's dealing with every living human being and all of their issues at the same time, and you haven't come close to tapping him out. That's the reality. See, again, we're imposing limits on God based on our experience and our vantage, right? Think about it. Isn't that powerful? Now, the word holiness means wholeness. Wholeness. It's not holy as in H-O-L-E-Y. Remember, Mark Rutland was talking about, he was in South Alabama and there was a little hand-painted sign and it said Holy Ghost Revival, and it was spelled H-O-L-E-Y. And it's like, maybe what's gotten between us and a real move of God is our spelling, because that's full of holes. That's your socks, right? He's holy, which is the exact opposite, complete, whole. It's wholeness, right? God is always all there. Every aspect of who he is, all his godness, all his creativity, all his love, all his goodness, all his loving kindness, all his mercy, all his justice, all of it in totality is always present. And you can't find a corner of a room where he isn't. See people trying to run from God? That's silly. Wherever you just ran to, he was already there before you got there. Because he's omnipresent, right? I want you to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Why is this such a big deal? Because you can count on him. That's what it's about. It's about his dependability. It's about being able to count on him. People that don't really know God all that well, they wonder if God's trustworthy. They want to believe it. But the only way to know that is to know him. You got to know him. Because once you get to know him, you know his character. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 13. It says, "If we are faithless," you ever been there? "He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot portion himself out." I'm talking about an impossibility. It's not a possibility that God could be less than who he is in any one instance. So he's merciful, he's kind, he's good, he's just, he's light. And as I said before, the worst sinner and the best Christian, when they turn to God, they meet the same God. All of him. Isn't that powerful? Thank you, Jesus. And I struggle with that. I have kids. And as a dad, sometimes we're driving and we have a Pathfinder. We're hoping to get a Chrysler Pacifica. We rented one of those a couple of years back and we're like, thank you, Jesus. Like they were several feet away. It was great, you know. And we could stack the luggage between us. Like, let me know how that ends. You know, it's like whatever conflict was going on, we kind of didn't know about it. But in the Pathfinder, they're right here. There's room for us all, but they're right there. And so sometimes there's issues that go on. And maybe Harrison hurts one of the little ones. And you know what? I have a different approach to him having hurt one of the little ones than I do the little ones. The little ones, I'm comforting them and I'm getting on his case. Well, what have I done? I have portioned myself out. But God's not that way. That's why it's hard for us to fathom. Because again, I don't change God. You don't change God. What you do will never make God less than who he is. You can't change God. Let's just say it that way. You cannot change God. He's always light. He's always love. Isn't that potent? Gosh, I just want to keep saying that because it's awesome. Now, go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And now we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about our holiness. This is where it gets a little tangled in religion. And the scriptures we're about to read, I didn't know what I thought about it. So I would kind of just stay away from it. I thought, well, I'm not confident enough to try to go minister from that because I don't know what I think about it. But I know God. And if there's something that's troubling you, just spend time with it. Let him show you. You're going to find there's an amazing revelation there. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 13. And it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good word right there. That is a good word. We're to rest, right? As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, I've heard this verse used as a way to beat up on people and their conduct. Anybody else? Even just reading it myself, looking at that, going, you know, a holy man doesn't act like that. A holy man doesn't think like that. Anybody else? I think that's all of us. But the revelation in this is, and I know it's talking about our conduct. It says in verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to deal with it? Here's the revelation. You are holy. Now act like it. That's it. You're already holy. I'm not being holy to be holy. I am holy, so I act holy. And I have a choice with every action, whether I'm going to align with the holiness that God has put in me. The Holy Spirit could not live in you if you were not holy ground. Did you hear me? That's what happened in the garden. The Holy Spirit had to be evacuated from Adam to keep him alive. He would have ceased to exist. Because God and sin will not cohabitate. You're holy, but you still have a choice. You still have a choice. Now live from that holiness. You're going to love this. This is verse 15 out of the Message Bible. And the Message Bible is a paraphrase that's written by Eugene Peterson. And some of you remember him from the Godspeed video. man, we just love that man. And he just passed away recently. And so that was really sad to hear that. But listen to how he paraphrases verse 15. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into the way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. Yeah, did you see that? As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. I don't think that could be better stated. That is awesome. I know it's a paraphrase. Wow. That captures the essence of what God's trying to say there. It's not God's holy, so you be holy. And I use this illustration. I'm teaching Bible now, and it's like if I went to these students and I say, you make an A, because I'm your teacher, you make an A. Man, I'd be out of that class as fast as I could get out of that class. Anybody else? That's not the attitude at all. The attitude is, you will make an A, because I'm your teacher. God's going to teach us how to walk in the holiness who we are. It's not something we're trying to achieve. It's just something we're trying to get our lives to align to. We're just trying to align ourselves with the truth. And I'll prove that to you as we go. So this should cause you to relax. 1 Peter 1:15. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. Ooh, that gets me excited. I think I might read it again. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. The holiness that's in you is a supply to you. It's not something you're trying to acquire. It's what changes you. It's the Holy Spirit in you changing you into who you really are. Into God's opinion of you. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory, the opinion of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The word glory is doxa, and it primarily signifies an opinion. So we're looking into the Word of God at the reflection, the opinion of God, and we're being transformed. Metamorpho-o, it's the same word, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. We're being changed into who we really are. From opinion, your opinion, to His opinion. How do you do it? You got to behold in the mirror. That's the Word of God. You got to look in the book. It's the only accurate reflection. Man, I got help today. Glory to God, you're pulling so good. Shoo, man, go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, look at verse 8, and it says, for by grace you have been saved. Is that past tense? Is that past tense? That's not something we're trying to do. It's something that's already happened, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What does holiness mean? It means wholeness. So, this says right here that you have been saved, right? Have been saved. The word saved is the word sozo. Sozo. And you guys know what that word means, right? It means deliverance, protection, healing, preservation, to make whole. To make whole. To make whole. You have been made whole. And it's wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. You have been made whole. So there's no debate about holiness. Now, did I say that you can't act a fool anymore? We all can. We still have a flesh. We still have a godless human nature that, if anything else, just wants to get in the Chick-fil-A line ahead of somebody. That's your flesh. That's just flesh. Are you with me? But you can decide to yield to the holiness that's in you. That's what he's talking about in your conduct. Can we do better? Sure. Sure we can. But the thing is, it's a gift. I'm not meriting anything. He's already put me in the position of holy. I'm just trying to get my life to align with it. Man, isn't that powerful? Romans 10, go over there real quick. So when you read I am, and you know Jesus used that phrase a couple of times. Those were powerful moments. Remember they came to arrest him in the garden? They see, who are you seeking? We seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And when you read it, there's in the New King James and the King James, it says, I am he. The he is italicized. He didn't say, I am he. He said, I am. And they all fell over. Why? Because he revealed who he am. He revealed who he was. Are you with me? That is who he is. And then when he said about Abraham, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And they're like, you're not even 50 years old and you said you've seen Abraham? And he's like, before Abraham was, I am. I got help. Man. He's used that phrase. So, and that's always present tense. And that's always whole. Always whole, always present tense. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 10, look at verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Then you shall be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. It's the word sozo. And I could show you 10 other verses. Are you with me? But I'm just making the point right here. We're talking about holiness is wholeness. And we've been made whole. And that's true regardless of how you feel about it. I don't feel whole. Doesn't matter. What matters is what God said. Did you hear what I said? I don't feel whole. Doesn't matter. What matters is what God says. He's only telling you the truth, right? And we can't change God. I'm not going to change God by how inadequate I may feel concerning my holiness. It's not going to change God. Now I want you to go over to Mark chapter 5. And I think this is one of the best ways to be able to reconcile that statement where it says, be holy, for I am holy. Mark chapter 5, look down at verse 25. It says, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. There's so much in here. In fact, in the Amplified, it says she kept on saying. She kept on saying. She didn't just utter a statement once. She was uttering this as she came behind him in the press. This woman is desperate, and she is just trying to sneak in and make a withdrawal of the power of God and just sneak right back out because Jesus is with Jairus. And we all know that Jairus had the authority to have her stoned to death for being in public in her condition. But the fact is, she had a vision, and she gave utterance to that vision. You've got to give voice to it. She's releasing the law of faith. She believes in her heart, and she's saying it with her mouth, and then there's the action, the corresponding action. Faith without works is dead. This woman is going to get her healing. And you know what? It wasn't Jesus that said, you know what, daughter? You need to be healed. He didn't even know who it was. In fact, I should finish reading it, I guess. But immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She knew that her faith worked, right? Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? That seems like a ridiculous question to the disciples. This is a throng. You know what a throng is? This is like somebody famous trying to get by the cameras and all of this coming out of a courtroom. Anyway. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Man, that was a death sentence. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you sozo. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Is he telling her to go get her healing? She's already healed. Go and be healed. Go and be who you are. That's what he's saying here. Be holy, because I'm holy. Go be who you are. Go be who I made you. By faith, you've been sozo, made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Right? Her faith. I love the fact that Jesus didn't even know who it was. Did you notice that Jesus didn't say, "Daughter, the power of God has healed you today"? It was the power of God. Right? "Daughter, it was God's will to heal you today." It was the will of God. Right? But the truth is, if he's ever willing, he's always willing. If he ever did, he always will. Because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's really what we're talking about, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I am the Lord God. I change not. He's always whole. He's always a healer. He's always willing. And the truth is, he's already given it to you. It already belongs to you. So many people are trying to get God to give them what he's already given them. Did you hear what I said? That is a lot of people. They get up in the line, "Oh, I hope God heals me." God has healed you. He's already healed you. When that light comes on, I'm already healed. When that happens, you'll be healed. Because they still think that God has to cut the check. Jesus isn't taking another stripe to get you healed. The payment is in full and the payment is in place. Past tense accomplishment, present tense result. He sent his word and healed them. Past tense. He didn't send his word to heal them. He sent his word and healed them. Man. All the promises. How many? All the promises of God are in him. Yes, and in him, amen. He's already said yes. You already have a green light from God with all the promises. All of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Stop asking him for permission to what he's already said yes to. Am I right? Isn't that the truth? In closing, I want you to go over to 1 John chapter 4. So when he says, "Be holy, for I'm holy," it's the same thing as Jesus saying, "Be healed." She's already received it. That power's already touched her body. The fountain of her blood's already dried up. She's already healed. He's saying, "Now go and be that." That's all he's telling us to do. Be that. Be holy. I'm holy. Now you be holy. And I'm not being holy to merit holiness. I'm already holy. Right? I do righteous things because I'm righteous, not to be righteous. I do them because I'm righteous. That's where it comes from. That's that life that Eugene Peterson was talking about. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." We're not talking about when we get to heaven. We're not talking about the next experience. As He is, so are we in this world. How is He? He's holy. He's whole. He's complete. We are whole and we are complete in Him. Are you in Him? Man, isn't that good news? Man, I tell you, I got happy. I don't know about anybody else. I enjoyed teaching that. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, did you get anything out of that? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.